Sabbath greetings, dear ones, to those gathered here and those listening on WLMR radio, those listening to on the phone, and also to the recording. I'm glad to have you in fellowship with us on this first day of September 2018, a wonderful Sabbath day. I'm glad you're able to spend part of it with us. And we have a very important topic to deal with in our sermon, and so let's get right into the service today. Our opening song is Temple Made of Time. And those who know this wonderful song, please take a verse. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars, the sun. On the seventh day he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man, to remind us where we came from and just how this world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified. Enter into joy divine in a temple.
See him worship on the Sabbath as he weakly stumbles. Feel the fury of a rabbi, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on a hillside as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in to joy divine in a temple made of time.
Oft forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profaned by the sacred fourth commandment, is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep it sworn. Not for merit or salvation, but because you love my son. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine in a temple made of time.
Amen. And thank you, dear ones, and praise God for opening our understanding to the sacredness of his Sabbath day, as well as inviting him and the Lord of the Sabbath, his son, and the convictor of the Sabbath day in hearts, the Spirit, with us. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us, and please continue to dwell with us, especially bringing the atmosphere of love and light and peace and joy down to each listening heart today. We also pray that the presence of our Savior will continue with us, and please, dear Savior, Continue to dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth, and fill our hearts with your love to overflowing. And dear Spirit, we pray that your presence will continue with us as well, convicting us and converting us and reproving us of everything that we have done wrong or have thought wrong or perhaps believe is wrong, and instead lead us in the way of righteousness and truth, letting us know that today is the day of our salvation. And thank you, Godhead, so much for being here in our midst. We pray that you'll continue to speed the truth around the world, pointing people to the Savior, and glorify him until every part of this world is lightened with his glory, and people can see the uplifted Savior and make that decision to follow him regardless of the cost, or to reject him, but we pray for him. Be especially with those who have heard the truth and are in the valley of decision on what to do about it. Please, Spirit, impress them in a great way and bring full and complete conviction to their hearts and minds. Let them clearly see the truth as it is in Jesus, and plant a love for Christ in their hearts that they will choose to follow the truth out of love for the Savior, who is the truth, and not just be time servers or want to avoid the consequences for not following it. Let them follow your word of truth because of their love for the Savior. And thank you so much for doing so. We claim the promise in Volume 1 of the Testimonies, page 99 and 100, that you will send every angel in heaven, if necessary, to open the eyes of an honest heart, that they may see the truth, as well as to see who has been deceiving them, and for granting them that precious choice to make. And that we have nothing to fear in this matter. Every honest-hearted individual will be awakened to the truth and know who has been deceiving them before their probation closes. And we claim this promise and thank you for fulfilling it. We also pray for those that have requested prayers, especially for healing, whether mental, physical, or spiritual. And thank you, dear Savior, for being their great physician to provide that healing in thy perfect timing and according to your will. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for leading and guiding us into all truth and helping us to understand. In thy name we pray. Amen. So again, happy Sabbath one and all. And we now enter into a different topic. This one is titled The Bible Spotlight on Forgiveness. So this is another one in the series on the Bible Spotlight, and this one's dealing with forgiveness. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1414.htm. So ID1414.htm. And our opening text is found in Leviticus 11:44, and this is quote number one. And Leviticus 11:44 reads, For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and ye shall be holy, for I am holy. So that's our opening text. So because the Lord our God is holy, then all his children are to sanctify themselves and become holy just like he is. And so what is the holiness of our Lord God like? And we're told in Exodus 34, verses 6 to 7, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. So since the holiness of the Lord God is seen to be manifested in these various divine characteristics brought out in Exodus 34, then if we work to daily pattern our lives after each one of these attributes, then we will become more and more sanctified and more conformed into God's image until we finally become holy just as he is holy. But this also means that until this change occurs in our lives, then we will remain unholy in character and thus unlike our God in our life and actions. So in order to help us all become more like God in character, we're going to closely examine each of these divine characteristics so that we can gain a more full understanding of each one. And today we're going to investigate into the divine and holy characteristic of forgiveness. Now, the subject of forgiveness can be one of the most difficult to fully comprehend. But if we do not understand what real and true forgiveness is, if we don't comprehend what it entails and just how and when to give it, then we'll likely be found practicing the wrong form of forgiveness. And a whole lot of problems will be needlessly caused because of it. Now, there's different ideas about what forgiveness is, but the only true definition of forgiveness is to be found in God's inspired word. So this then means that whatever ideas we may have formed about what true forgiveness is needs to be brought to and tested by God's inspired word. But just as the only true definition of true forgiveness is to be found in God's word, then the only correct examples of true forgiveness are also to be found in God's inspired word. So we must take what we believe true forgiveness is and examine it as well as our practices of forgiveness by God's inspired word. And this is the only way that we're going to be able to clearly see if we have been following or if we have been understanding the true, holy, and divine attribute of forgiveness, or have we have been understanding and following the false, unholy form of forgiveness. So this is what we're going to be doing for the next couple Sabbaths. And dear ones, when you see how broad and full and complete true divine forgiveness really is, you will be utterly amazed. But first of all, what needs to be forgiven? If you look at quote number 2, from Ephesians 1, verse 7, the forgiveness of sins. So sin is what needs to be forgiven. And so what exactly is sin? In 1 John 3:4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So then if we break any of God's Ten Commandment law, then we have committed sin, which then needs to be forgiven. That's pretty clear. Now, who can we sin against? If you look at quote number 3, from Genesis 39, verse 9. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And in 1 Corinthians 8:12, ye sin against Christ. So this shows us that we can sin against God as well as sin against Christ. And in fact, the first four of the Ten Commandments reveals in exactly what ways we can sin against them both. But God and Jesus Christ are not the only ones we can sin against. In 1 Samuel 2, verse 25, if one man sin against another, or in other words, another man or human. In Genesis 42:22, do not sin against the child. In Matthew 18:21, my brother sin against me. In 2 Chronicles 6:22, if a man sin against his neighbor. In 1 Corinthians 8:12, ye sin so against the brethren. Or in other words, believers in Christ. And in 1 Samuel 19:4, let not the king sin against his servant. So these verses reveal to us that not only can sin be committed against God and Christ, but we can also sin against other human beings. And this is regardless of how old or young they may be. This is regardless of whether they are family or neighbors or strangers or believers or non-believers, and also regardless of whether they are workers or hired servants. And the last six of the Ten Commandments reveals in exactly what ways we can sin against other human beings. So God's Ten Commandments reveals that we can sin against God or Christ, and we can sin against other human beings. But what actually occurs when we break God's law and sin against God, or against Christ, or against another human being? What actually occurs? And if you look at quote number 4, from Luke 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Now, the Greek word for indebted used here is ophilio. And ophilo translates and means to owe, to be under obligation, be bound, be in debt, be guilty. And this is from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, word number 3784. So this means that when we commit a sin, that very action places us in debt to the one whom we sinned against, or to those whom we sinned against. And we are then bound and under solemn obligation to pay them back what we owe them. And we will remain guilty until we do so. So when we sin against either God or Christ or another human being, that very action places us in their debt. And we must then pay them back in order for that debt to be cleared. And until we do so, we remain guilty. So then, as this is true, and we've committed sin, then exactly how do we pay back those whom we sinned against so that we can have our indebtedness to them removed? And if you look at quote number 5, so if we've sinned against God or Christ, what are we to do? In Psalms 32, verse 5, we're told, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And so then, if we do acknowledge and confess to God in Christ that we've sinned against them, then what will happen? In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Matthew 18:32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. So these verses reveal that when we come to God or Jesus Christ and confess our sins against them, that they will not only freely pardon and forgive us, but they will also freely remove all our indebtedness to them, and they will cleanse us from all guilt and unrighteousness, because they are faithful and just. And this wonderful and glorious forgiveness and cleansing is only made possible because of the plan of our salvation that was perfectly carried out by Jesus Christ's holy life, his willing sacrifice, his death, and then resurrection, so that we may indeed become free from all bondage to unrighteousness and our debt to be paid. And praise their holy names for making that possible. So that's if we have sinned against God and Christ and how we go about paying them back. But what if we sinned against another human being? What are we to do in order to have our debt paid? And if you look at quote number 6, from James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. And so if we do acknowledge and confess to another human being that we've sinned against them, then what will happen? And this actually depends. The problem is that not every human being knows exactly how to forgive. And those who know a little bit about forgiveness, very few of these will realize what it really means to remove our indebtedness to them. So they may forgive us, but they don't know what it means to remove our debt to them because of that sin. So then exactly what is true biblical forgiveness? This is what we as human beings need to realize and understand and comprehend. God and Christ know what it is. They're just and faithful in performing it. But not all human beings are like God and Christ. So then what exactly is true biblical forgiveness? The Hebrew word for forgiveness is salika. And this word translates and means pardon, forgiveness. That's Strong's word number 5547. And the Hebrew word for forgiven is nasa. And this word translates and means to accept, to cast, to contain, to ease, forgive, help, hold up, lift up, pardon, raise up, receive, respect, spare, take away, yield. That's Strong's word number 5375. All of that meaning is included in forgiveness. Now in Greek, the word forgiven as well as forgive is aphemi. And this word translates and means to send forth, to forgive, forsake, lay aside, leave, let alone, let be, let go, omit, put away, remit, suffer, yield up. And that's Strong's Greek word number 863. So I hope that you can see that true forgiveness, according to the Bible, involves a whole lot more than just the simple act of pardon. And if we put all of these definitions together, it reveals that true forgiveness means that when a person comes to you acknowledging and confessing their sin against you and seeking your forgiveness, that you are too, and there's five specific actions here, that you are to, number one, willingly receive them with respect, no matter how much suffering they may have caused you. Number two, you are to help ease their mind and spare adding to their guilty feelings by yielding to their desire for pardon and then freely forgive them. Number three, you are to cast, lay aside, omit, remit, forsake, put and take away the debt they owe you, no matter how large or small that debt might be. Number four, you are to lift, raise, and hold them up, so that you can send them forth relieved, happy, and free in the Lord. And number five, you are to let go, let alone, leave it, and let their sin and its memory be and remain contained in the past. This is what true biblical forgiveness is. And what this holy attribute of our God is like and entails. And all I can say, it's truly glorious and amazing to understand the attribute of forgiveness that God manifests. So if we truly want to be sanctified and become holy as our God is holy, then in this one attribute of forgiveness, this is what we need to begin understanding and practicing. And for those of us who have sinned against another, how many of you would like to experience this kind of holy forgiveness when you acknowledge and confess your sin to them? To have them forgive you in this way. I know I would. I would be so grateful if when I came to an individual to be received, to be forgiven and upheld in such a wonderful way. But now in realizing this, how many of us have actually manifested this kind of biblical forgiveness to those seeking our forgiveness for their sins? How many of us have actually followed this holy example? Now, some may be tempted to believe that this description of holy biblical forgiveness is just way too broad or way too lenient or way too difficult to possibly manifest. And so it just can't possibly be correct. But what does God's inspired word say about this? We've seen the definition of the word forgiveness, forgiven, and forgive, and see that it means all these things. But what does God's inspired word state? That way we don't have to follow what we think is right. We can follow what God says is right. So what does God's word declare about this subject of forgiveness? So let us look at some examples of forgiveness found in the scriptures and see if it really matches and backs up this amazing description. And this is exactly what we'll do next time. It's amazing and humbling to recognize how righteous and perfectly holy God is, and how far we fall short of representing Him in character. But praise God for His word that will reveal to us our shortfalls and also show us how to come up ever more higher and nearer to God's perfect holiness. So we're to be holy as God is holy, And thank you, dear Spirit, for giving us the grace and the strength, as well as the courage and the comfort to sanctify ourselves and become holy as God is. So next time we'll begin looking at some biblical examples of forgiveness and see if it really backs up these five different areas. So we hope to see you next Sabbath, dear ones. And again, praise God for His Word. Our closing song is Take My Life. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee.
Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee.
Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my mind and then use every power Thou shalt choose. Every power Thou shalt choose.
Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal throne.
Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At Thy feet is treasure sure. Take my soul and I will be ever only all for Thee. Ever only all for Thee.
Amen. The pathway to sanctification. Not my will, but Thy will be done. And praise God for making it possible for us to become holy just as He is holy. One step at a time. One attribute at a time, ever advancing until we become like Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we thank you for thy merciful kindness, thy tender love, thy watchful care, and for being unwilling that any should perish, but instead all come to a saving knowledge of the truth as it is in Christ. Thank you, Savior, for giving us the perfect example that we can follow in every area of our lives. Thank you for exemplifying the holiness of God, of yourself, and for giving us thy word that we don't have to rely on what someone has told us you are like, but we can rely on the inspired word of truth to reveal what you are like, as well as in our personal experience. Thank you for not leaving or forsaking us, but continuing to draw us ever onward and upward. Help us to stop fighting. Help us to crucify self and to humbly submit and comply with your will, that we might indeed become like you, children of the Most High, completely different than the children of the wicked one. And thank you for giving us the grace and the strength that makes all this possible, as well as the courage and steadfastness to continue on to the end. Continue to be with us. Help us to study this issue of forgiveness for ourselves, digging into your word of inspiration to verify everything that's been shared, and so we can know for ourselves how to act like the Most High. Thank you so much for doing so, and continue to be with us until we meet again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we hope to see you next Sabbath, dear ones. But you don't have to wait till then. You can start digging into God's Word and look up all the examples you can find regarding forgiveness. But we do hope to see you next Sabbath. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any questions, any songs or testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share as we're now in our after church service? Please go right ahead. As we're just looking at one of the attributes of God's character, one aspect of his holiness, it's amazing what you see, and that just verifies how great he is. And so this hymn is appropriate. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great.
Amen. How great God is indeed. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, songs, or testimonies that you'd like to give before we close today's service? Please feel free, dear ones. Amen. This is another wonderful hymn. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. power, all power, surely is thou. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall sing. Christ only always living in me.
Amen. The process of sanctification. Have thine own way, Lord. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship with you all, and I pray that God will continue to lead and guide you, that he'll give you a wonderful remaining Sabbath day of refreshing and rest in his love and truth. And a wonderful week coming, and we hope to be in fellowship with you again on another Sabbath. Please don't forget that this coming Monday evening at 5:30 p.m. Monday, that would be the 3rd of September, is the women's meeting. Then Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern is our Wednesday midweek church service. And then, of course, Friday for the beginning of the Sabbath and our Sabbath fellowship here in the morning. So looking forward to seeing you again. And until then, may God bless you. May his face shine upon you. And may his peace reign in your heart. So may God bless.